Jesus is the first person in all of world history to make love the central unifying virtue that sums up everything else. Jesus here is making love the ethical capstone, the defining feature of a virtuous life that will truly flourish in the world.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us today through this series on the Sermon of the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, oftentimes when people think about Jesus, they see him as the sacrificial Savior. But today, you present him as this supernatural genius, this magnificent brilliance.
Yeah, well, so Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is doing something that no one else in the ancient world had ever been able to do. All the great thinkers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Marcus Aurelius, they had these virtue lists of what made a good virtuous life. And they were all trying to find a unifying theory that would bring it all together. And the Jews were trying to figure out, of all the commandments in the Old Testament, how do you bring them into like some cohesive whole? And Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount something that no one else had ever been able to do. He put all the ethics together around the ethic of love. And of course, Jesus gets to define what that means. And what's amazing, Pastor Larry, is all the way through to today, we're still living in the world as Jesus basically created it. We intuitively think today of love as a paramount virtue. It's because of Jesus, and it's because of the Sermon on the Mount that we think that way today. He literally not only saved the world, but he changed the world and how we think, how culture and philosophy think about ethics. He changed it forever. It's amazing. He's brilliant.
Now, beloved, you want to make sure you stay tuned after the message, says Pastor Philip is going to paint a picture of love when God is taken out of the picture. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church for part one of the sermon, The Law of Love.
One of the foundational questions of moral philosophy down through the ages is, what is a virtuous life? What is a virtuous life? Because the ancient philosophers understood something that we tend to overlook, and that is that there is no flourishing in life without true virtue. The Greeks, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and the like, later, the Romans, Cicero, Marcus Aurelius, put forth what became known over time as the four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. It's not important to remember all of these, but then they argued about whether there was one virtue that united all the other virtues, and they could never agree on what that is. In another part of the world, the Jewish rabbis were holding that virtue consists of wisdom in keeping the law of God. They identified 613 commandments in the Old Testament by their reckoning and said, just keep those and you'll be fine. That's kind of a tall order to keep track of 613 priorities. And so then the rabbis got together and they tried to figure out, maybe there was a unifying set of virtues or commands that could explain all the commands. And of course, you have the 10 commandments, and someone said, well, that's it. It's not going to get any better than 10. So keep the 10 and you keep them all. Others argued that the great Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, that this was the great commandment that unified everything. Others argued that Leviticus 19:18 was the central command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. There's a famous story, it may or may not be true, but it's a good story, right? Of a non-Jewish man who promised to convert to Judaism if one of the rabbis could teach the entire Torah, the law of God, to him while standing on one foot, right? In other words, you have to do it fast, right? Because you're gonna lose your balance. You can't keep that up very long, so you have to do it quickly. Rabbi Shammai responded to this insolence by whacking the young man on the head with his walking stick. Rabbi Hillel the elder answered him, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Now go study." Which, of course, was a jab at Shammai for whacking the man on his head, but was also a profound bit of wisdom, isn't it? I bring all of this up to simply point out that when Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount to what a life of virtue looks like, he's not doing so in a vacuum. He's joining an ongoing conversation in his Greco-Roman and Jewish milieu. And the clearest example of this is in Jesus' articulation of what we now call the Golden Rule, which we looked at last time, and we're going to focus all of our attention on this morning, Matthew 7, verse 12. So grab your Bibles. It's just a short verse of brilliance. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." You'll notice that what Jesus does here is he takes Rabbi Hillel's famous statement that he made in the negative, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow," and he flips it around and he frames it in the positive. "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also unto them." So Rabbi Hillel's ethic was one of restraining harm. Don't do the bad things you don't want people doing to you. Don't do them to other people. But Jesus' ethic is one of loving service, right? Whatever you wish others would do for you, you do that for them. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Jesus is the first person in all of world history to make love the central unifying virtue that sums up everything else. Jesus here is making love the ethical capstone, the defining feature of a virtuous life that will truly flourish in the world. This is a watershed moment. This is a philosophical breakthrough. It is a brilliant moral insight, and it is still shaping us today. In fact, if you, like most of our culture today, think of love as the highest virtue that everything else points to, you didn't come up with that on your own. You got that from Jesus. You just may not know it, but that's where it came from. It came from Jesus Christ. Jesus' golden rule, his ethic of love, has literally changed the world. And you're looking right here at the original source material of where it all began, Matthew 7, verse 12, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, what I want to do this morning is show you just how brilliant and history-changing Jesus is. Because not only in this passage is he going to give us unparalleled moral clarity with this ethic of love, he is also going to provide us with an unprecedented power to actually live into this ethic. And he's going to tie the Sermon on the Mount together front to back with rhetorical genius as he packages everything as a whole. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to look at all this stuff, and we're going to consider three things. We're going to consider the way of love, the life of the Spirit, and the heart of righteousness. That's our plan for this morning: the way of love, the life of the Spirit, and the heart of righteousness, as Jesus shows us the way to a virtuous life. That's our plan. As we jump in, would you bow your heads? Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us and be our teacher. Father, we need help this morning. Love is a great ideal, but it's hard to live. Even the most loving of us find ourselves saying harsh words to the people we claim to love the most. We constantly let down people we've promised to love faithfully. Teach us to love like you, to be faithful and true, to be selfless and sacrificing, Give us your heart this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First of all, the way of love, the way of love. Scholars of the Gospels, the New Testament biographies of Jesus, have long observed that Jesus' virtue of love unfolds and deepens over the course of his teaching ministry. This passage we're looking at right now in Matthew 7, 12 is the earliest teaching of what we now call the Golden Rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, notice Jesus is in these contrasting with Hillel's ethic of restraining harm and instead gives us an ethic of loving service for one another. It's full of empathy, compassion, and grace for others. And Jesus says, this is the law and the prophets. That was the shorthand for their entire Old Testament, their Bible at that time. And Jesus is saying, everything in the Bible is ultimately about this. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. That this virtue of loving service for others, that the whole Bible is aiming toward this end. This is its goal, its purpose. Fulfill this ethic of love and you fulfill it all. Now, many years later, about 2.5, 3 years later, Jesus expands on this summary of the law in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, an expert in the Old Testament law comes to Jesus and says, Rabbi, which is the great commandment in the law? Do you see his question? Which commandment is greater than all the other commandments? Which commandment unites all the other commandments? Which virtue unites all the other virtues? This is the question. It's a moral philosophy question. Jesus answers, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Again, the lawyer asked him for one commandment, you notice, and Jesus gave him two. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got, with every fiber of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus unites the great Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he unites it with Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says these are actually two sides of a single coin. Love God, love neighbor. And notice here how the ethic has deepened. Instead of what we saw before, treat others the way I would want to be treated, that's in Matthew 7:12. Now, here in Matthew 22, we have love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love yourself? Well, unless you have some deep psychological trauma that's really messed you up, which happens, most of us, even without thinking, seek our own good, seek our own happiness, seek our own interests, don't we? It's our instinct, our habit, our constant pattern. We're obsessive about taking care of ourselves. We're devoted to it. It's an automatic reflex. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want to know the ethical center that undergirds all the law and the prophets, the entire Bible, here it is. Love God with every fiber of your being and love your neighbor as if they were yourself. With the same love, the same affection, the same devotion and care as if they were you. That's how you're to love them. At the very center, love God, love people. The center is love. Love God, love people. And just when we thought the ethical hill couldn't get any steeper and impossible to climb, at the Last Supper, the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and washed his own disciples' feet. He took on the role of the lowest slave, and he said to them, John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And again, do you see how the virtue of love is unfolding, it's deepening? We started out, treat others the way you wish they'd treat you, which became love others as you yourself love yourself, right? Which is now turned into love one another as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved us, friends? Selflessly, sacrificially, servant-heartedly, with radical self-donating compassion and surrender, he gives and gives and gives himself away. He's the servant of all, his life in love laid down for us. Although by rights he deserved to be in the form of God forever, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped and held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. He was found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Jesus, what's the virtuous life? What's the ethic that unites all the ethics? What's the commandment that unites all the commandments? The ethic is a life of love like Jesus. That's the ethical standard. A life of love like Jesus. Agape love. A love that gives itself away for the good of another. The divine love of God himself, perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ. A love from beyond the world. It's the cross-shaped love of our Jesus, who died in our place and for our sake, bearing all of our sin and shame, and rose again to make us right with God forever, sons and daughters of the King. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is true virtue. That is the real ethical center. It is the new commandment that Jesus is here to give us. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us today as we explore the ethics of love. Now, Pastor Philip, most people will concede in our culture, we want love, we want kindness, maybe even a little compassion. I just don't want Jesus. Won't work, will it?
No, it really won't work because, and this is kind of our cultural moment, isn't it? You know, Jesus got Western culture on this trajectory of seeing love as the central ethic that unites everything. That came from Jesus. But now what Western culture is trying to do is say, can we keep the fruits of an ethic of love, but sever the roots of Jesus? We want the ethic, but we don't want to deal with Jesus and salvation and sin and being made right with God. Can we divorce it and pull it apart? Can I keep the fruit and leave the root, you know? And like a tree that you cut down for a season, it'll lay on the ground and it looks green for a while, but it will eventually only wither and die. And in many ways, that's what we're seeing in our Western cultural moment today is having cut Jesus out, now everything's starting to wither. And the fruits that came from Jesus are not sustainable without him. And there's really three things we lose when we try to do this, when we try to have the ethics of Jesus without the source and substance of who Jesus is. Number one, we're losing the source. We're losing God is love. And God is the one who defines love. He's the one who animates it as a principle. It this ethic of love, it comes from him. He's the one who gave it to us. So when we we're losing the source. So we've cut the roots. We're no longer nourishing the fruit. So that's number one. Number two, we're actually losing the power. It's one thing to say we should love. Everyone believes you should love at this point. But now, how do I actually go about it? How do I actually have power to change my heart, to change my life, to change who I am from the inside so that I become a person of love? We need a power supply to come with it. Otherwise, it will never happen. So when we reject Jesus, we're losing the very animating power that actually makes love possible. So we've lost that. And then we're losing the goodness of love. And this gets to, what do we mean when we say love? Jesus defines love for us, this agape love of God, this covenant faithfulness of God that does what is right and good, that is constantly seeking the good of the other, willing to sacrifice itself in service of the one who is loved. That kind of agape love is beautiful. But the problem is, we want to hold on to it, but strip away all the theology, right? So in our cultural moment, love actually becomes about what I want to do rather than how I can give myself away for the sake of another. And so we hear all these things. Love is love, right? And so everyone, well, what does that even mean, right? But what do those terms mean? What we mean by it in our culture today, as the world is using it, is I need to be free to do whatever I want because I want to be happy and I deserve the right to be happy in my own way, which is not anywhere close to the kind of goodness of love that we see Jesus modeling, that is about radical self-donation and the love of others and giving oneself away and sacrifice and all of this. So like in our culture, they say love is love, but what we really mean by that is lust is lust. It's about what I want and my needs and filling up what I want. That's a problem. We've redefined the essence of love. Jesus gives it to us. When he came, laid down his life on the cross, gave himself away, that defines love. And that's beautiful. And we lose that when we try to take the ethic and strip Jesus away and make sure he has nothing to do with it. It actually dehumanizes love itself. That's it's a problem.
Masterful way of explaining, when we lay down our life, it does not necessarily mean to be in a life-threatening situation. So much as it is that we are, as you just said, pouring ourselves out into others' lives. Yes?
Yeah. So Jesus obviously literally laid down his life for us. Yes. And but we're called to sacrificially self-give our lives in a sense. But most of us are not going to go have to like jump in front of a moving car and save someone. But you know what? Love looks like a lot of little moments of self-sacrifice. Like if I love someone, I'm willing to serve them. I'm willing to do the dishes and take out the trash and cover their shift and step up to the plate when no one else will. Like it's those small moments of self-denial and sacrifice. That's where we see love in action. And that's the kind of love that reflects the heart of Jesus.
Oh, I hope you'll remember what you've heard today, beloved. Fruit without the root, you cut yourself off from the source, from the power, from the goodness. Now, to help you reflect the unique character of Christ, we're offering Pastor Erwin Lutzer's dynamic book, Christ Among Other Gods. This resource walks you through the life of Christ from his birth to his second coming, helping us see his uniqueness among all the religions of the world. Now, beloved, we're quickly approaching the end of our fiscal year, and every dollar you give now is doubled by the matching challenge. Your support keeps uplifting, insightful messages like today's program, broadcasting on local radio stations in your area and literally across the nation. To help us finish the year strong and to have your gift doubled, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Living out a life-giving love requires a power that comes from outside ourselves. Next time, we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit is making us people of love. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.